Good morning. Welcome to City Beat, brought to you by the City of Maysville. It is great to have in the studio Tony Leese, our Emergency Management Director. Do I get that right?
You did. Yes, you did.
Thank you.
You got it perfect.
This is Severe Weather Awareness Week. And given the weather that we've had over the past couple of weeks,
yes,
we need to be observing this for a lot, yes, lot of time.
We sure do.
Good morning to you.
Well, it's good to be back. Yeah, it seems like it was just a week or so ago that we was here looking at winter weather awareness.
Yes.
And here we are already for severe weather.
So. Yeah, 12 days from spring, and yes, seems like we're getting all of the bad stuff early.
Yes, yes. And I know one of the things that always seems to mark off spring for me is that change of the clock, you know, springing
yes,
forward. And it's right around the corner. But yes, we have already experienced some severe weather. We was watching all that last week, and thankfully we didn't get hit as bad as some of the other areas. And we was watching there Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, and seeing the activity in Ohio, and I think the last report I've seen, somewhere 8 or 9 tornadoes confirmed there in Ohio already
wow,
this season. So I hope that's not an indicator of what this season's going to be like. But
yeah, I say, because we're about ready to come up on the anniversary of the night of the tornadoes, is what they used to call
yes,
it, April 3rd, April 4th.
And I'll be honest, I don't know how I have that actual,
it was in,
yes,
in the 70s, and I remember that all we were doing, listening to Doug McGill on the radio,
yes,
telling us to get into the bathtub and put a mattress over our head,
wow,
either that or get under a table.
Wow.
And, gosh, I think it was like 300 tornadoes throughout the area, and it just affected so many people. And the thing is, they're sneaky.
Yes. Yes. And that was one of the things that with the storms that was coming through Tuesday evening, Wednesday, is they was expecting them to hit throughout the evening. And not that I want a tornado at any time, but I'd rather it be in the daylight when people can see, they can kind of be prepared.
Yeah.
But nighttime, yes, that's no good. No good.
Absolutely not.
So,
well, like I said, we're going to have at least a couple of months of checking the skies every
yeah,
once in a while. Let's talk about the severe weather. Which would you like to attack first?
So the first thing I would like to do, just initially, just to share that we always encourage people to have at least 3 ways to be notified. And, you know, whether it be during snow or severe weather, and whether it be through our Rave Alerts, which anyone can sign up for that by texting Mason County. That's all lowercase, all one word. And you just text that to 78015, and it'll take you to the page where you're able just to fill out that information, set up your account, and you can choose on how you would like to be notified. Mine, personally, I have, it calls my phone, it sends a text message, it sends an email.
Yes.
And then also on the app, I get an alert. So, you know, right there I have 4 ways that I am being notified of what's going on. So Rave Alerts is definitely a great way of being able to be notified of weather that's coming and what's going on, and it's free. It's a free app, and it's one of those, to me, it's a very very useful tool. But then there's also the NOAA weather radios, which are also very important and come in handy. And then we also have sirens throughout the county. One of the other things I think is really important, and I have them on, we had them on when we was there the other night watching the weather, is of course local television and local radio, you know, listening, because
yes,
you all are watching and up on that as well. And so the more ways we can be prepared and notified, the better we are. So I always like to address that first.
And someplace else that you can go, the Buffalo Trace District Health Department's app,
yes,
gives you weather,
yes,
alerts.
Yes. So
the more you can have, the more advanced warning you can have, the better.
I fully agree, and I think FEMA, there's several of them out there, and I redundancy, you know, it's one of those things that some people get tired of silencing their phone or whatever it might be, but I would rather be alert and be aware of what's coming than to be left unprepared.
Oh, my wife, she loves tracking the weather.
Yes.
And, you know, it's one of her favorite things to do. Now, we get our weather, our alerts from NOAA, the National Weather Service, out of Wilmington.
Correct. That is correct.
Is that the way that it usually tracks coming from?
And that just kind of depends upon the system and the storm that's coming. And I know I was talking to a guy the other day. Sometimes ours will kind of come up from the south. It'll kind of come through Louisville and clip us that way. Sometimes they'll come down from Indianapolis and kind of swing around that way. Every once in a great while, I can remember seeing coming from, you know, more of the Jackson area. And that's one of the things that I will do is when we do have severe weather like this coming, is I have access, we call it Slack. Now it was the chat. And so we're able to pull up all of those different weather services and have all, we can see all their communications, say, hey, this is what we're getting, this is what's coming, this is what we're experiencing. And so we can kind of know based upon what they have seen and what's coming our way, we can kind of gauge and be prepared. So,
wow. I find this all really interesting. You've got the different ways you can get it.
Yes.
Let's talk about the different types of storms, starting out with electrical storms, because yes. We just had one a couple of weeks ago that, matter of fact, knocked out a piece of our equipment and put us off the air for a couple of hours. Yes. But it's like I was telling you before we went on the air, I love thunderstorms. I think they're relaxing, they're beautiful, they're frightening. But now that I've become responsible for actually having equipment stay on the air and working, I don't like them that much.
I can't imagine that responsibility. But and I fully agree. I can remember I was heading to Oklahoma on an airplane, and we flew over top of a thunderstorm, and to look down, it is beautiful. It is fascinating, but they're powerful, and you know. And I just have some facts here about lightning.
Yeah.
And one of the things I will share in advance is that I am currently doing some groundwork on some additional services that we're looking to hopefully get in some of our gathering areas, possibly looking at maybe the fairgrounds, the rec park, downtown in the entertainment district, some things that will tell people what to do in case of lightning, some signs and also some directions there. So we're in the process of working with the Weather Service and some other private individuals as well, and getting some things there so we can be prepared for that. But just some interesting facts here this morning about lightning. Lightning is hotter than the surface of the sun. Wow. and can reach temperatures up to 50,000 degrees Fahrenheit.
Did not know that.
So that's pretty hot. Lightning strikes in the United States about 25 million times a year. Although most lightning occurs in the summer, people can be struck any other time of the year. Lightning, and this is unfortunate to share this information, but on average, lightning kills about 20 people a year here in the United States, plus injures severely more than hundreds. And so it's just one of those things that, and I can remember as a child, you just kind of, you know, blowing it off, and we'd be at the pool and they would tell you to get out. You're like, oh, come on. Mm-hmm. But when you hear some of that, you're like, yeah, it's so what to do in a situation like that? What we need to know, no place outside is safe when a thunderstorm is in the area. I know that's so if you're out on the golf course, you're out wherever, there's really no place that is safe out there. You know, some people say, well, underneath a tree or whatever. It might be better than standing out there with an umbrella. But
I always heard ditches.
Ditches. And I think that talks about in the some of the tornado information, it refers to ditches. But and I'll just read through a few of these things here. It says, if you hear thunder and lightning in a close enough area, if you can hear it, it can strike you. When you hear thunder, immediately move to a safe shelter, a substantial building with electricity or plumbing, or something that is enclosed, metal-topped vehicles with the windows up. So those are just a few things. Even, getting in something like that is better than just trying to find a place outside under a tree. Or if you can get into a car, find some place where you can get in out of the open. Stay in that safe shelter for at least 30 minutes after you hear the sound of that thunder. again, one of those things we would have to do at the pool. You're like, oh, come on, let me just clear skies. Let's get back in the water. And but again, those things can they can strike. And so those are some things to kind of keep in mind. Indoor lightning safety, even if you are indoors. This is not quite as common as it used to be, and maybe in our day, but stay off corded phones.
Yes. Yes.
Not too many people have those. We was taking a tour of AT&T the other day, and we got to talking about party lines and different things, and some of these younger generations have no idea. But stay off the corded phones, stay off the computers, other electrical equipment that put you in direct contact with electricity.
Now, I know that the technology in like surge protectors, spike protectors, things like that have improved over the years. Have. But do you still want to unplug your valuable electronics?
I do, just as an extra precaution, and I get nothing against those manufacturers, and I definitely believe they have improved. And if it's, you know, if this threat is like right on us, you know, I might just say, hey, I'll just take the chances. But if I got some time, I usually kind of pull out the TV, pull out the stereos, little things, computers, and unplug those, and just to have that extra step.
Okay. Now, something that I always saw and never worried about, of course, when there's actually, you know, cloud-to-ground lightning, you can see the bolts.
Yes.
But then during the summertime, you would have what we always called heat lightning.
Yes.
Is that something to be – I mean, is that the same thing, something to be worried about?
It is. It is. And from what I understand, what I've read is just as deadly as the
– Never
And I don't
that.
Fully understand all the details to that, but it can be just as critical. And so and I've heard, and again, I think there's all kinds of different myths out there that actually heat lightning is a storm from another location. But I need to do a little more research on
right.
that. but you know, the corded phones or the computers, things that are plugged in, tapped into the electrical, you know, which puts you in direct contact because it can come through, you know, kind of avoid those. One of the other things that, again, as a child, I didn't quite understand, but avoid plumbing, which includes sinks, baths, and faucets. You know, that lightning, that electric can travel through water. And so, you know, it is a conductor, and so it's something to kind of be aware of as well.
Okay. So, but there's some lightning that accompanies things like tornadoes.
Yes.
And when you were talking about, you know, safeguarding yourself from tornadoes.
Yes.
A lot of the things that I've learned is go to the bathroom because the plumbing goes so deep into the ground.
Right.
That seems to kind of be like cross-purposes.
Well, and I think this is more as actually having that running water, you know, having that water actually going through.
Right.
Because my mom would always come, get out of the shower. I'm like, well, I'm not. The water. Yeah, so the actual water.
Boy, adults just weren't fun, were they?
Yeah, so, but yeah, those are things that, yeah, that water that comes through there, the baths, and some of that, again, the not so much as it used to be, but a lot of those plumbing lines were copper, again, another conductor of electricity, which now we have a lot of PEX and PVC, and so not quite as much. But the water can be a conductor. But other things, stay away from windows and doors. Stay off porches, which, again, you like to sit there and watch, but not the safest place to be. This one here, again, I've not done all the research on it. But do not lie on the concrete floors. Do not lean against concrete walls. And I'm not quite sure what the deal with that is, but these facts or this information came from the weather.gov website, which is NOAA's website, and there's a tab there. You click on safety, and it'll cover lightning, tornadoes, thunderstorms, flooding, and it'll give you these information on each situation.
Right.
But the last resort, if you're outdoor, there's just a few things it has here. If you're caught outside and there's no shelter, nothing that you can do, it says immediately get off of the elevated area, such as hills, mountain ridges, or peaks. Never lie flat on the ground. Never shelter under an isolated tree. Never use a cliff or rocky hanging overhang for shelter. Immediately get out away from the ponds, lakes, other bodies of water, and stay away from anything that can conduct electricity.
Can I add something
to
that?
Go right ahead, yes.
Because So I always heard storms, tornadoes, or whatever, if you were on the highway, get to an underpass and, you know, tuck yourself in.
Right.
But in the past couple of years, I've heard, no, 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 that's not a good idea.
Yes. And that's, again, I think it's just based upon some of the situations that have taken place. To me, it seems like better than just being out there in the open. But I think with just some of the conditions, it can create a problem.
Yeah, like the winds and everything gets up and under and inside, and all of the debris, basically it traps you in it.
It does. It kind of creates this place that is not where you want to be in the midst of some of these situations. So that is one of the things that they're really emphasizing this year. And like I said, I got a couple of initiatives I'm working on, trying to get some more information, get some things in our area. Just one to educate people, but also just kind of give some direction. If you're out in a public venue and lightning, you know, what do we do? And so those are some things that we can do with the lightning. And then, of course, the others is that we probably see then is the tornadoes.
Yes.
And as we've already mentioned, that had several in Ohio already. And one of the things I always like to address, and these warnings and watches kind of are similar for each, whether it be the flood, the tornado, the thunderstorm. And I always like to just kind of give the details on the difference between the warning and the watch, just so people kind of know what the difference is. So the watch is basically be prepared. More than like the conditions are favorable, it's possible with all that's going on that a tornado could spin up, a thunderstorm could spin up, and so they're just kind of giving you that alert just to be prepared.
Right.
Where the actual warning usually indicates that something has been sighted, whether it be actual visual or it's indicated on the weather radar, and so they're telling us this is happening, it's coming, and so we need to take cover. Of course, in a tornado, you just need to go to your safe place and whatever it might be, floods. It depends upon each situation. But that's one of the things I like to address is the difference between the watches and the warnings, just to make sure.
I keep going back to tornadoes because, honest, I'm fascinated by them.
Yes.
But I always heard tornado warning, open up all of your windows so the pressure won't pretty much blow your house apart. Is that
one of the things I has kind of changed over the years as well. I can remember when we was in school, that was one of our the things that we would do during a drill was open up the east windows. If I remember, I think it was the east side. We left the west side closed. And again, it was all because of the pressure and the vacuum. Yeah. And I think some of they've gotten away from some of that, maybe because of the timing, you're putting somebody's life in danger, and I don't know if it really changed a whole lot of the situation with opening the windows, but that's one of the things they don't really emphasize as much as they used to. I think there are probably some benefits to it, and I know even in flooding, again, this isn't another, but if you have a basement, opening up windows allows the water to come in to equalize that pressure inside the basement. And so, which often will keep your walls from collapsing. If the water's not able to get inside the basement, the pressure from outside will cause the walls to come in. So, little things like that do help and can save some property in situations. But if you're going to put your life at risk to do it, I wouldn't encourage. You know, we can replace a basement, we can replace a home, but we can't replace somebody's life. So,
definitely.
And I'm not sure if that's where that has kind of why that some of that's changed. But as far as you know, being prepared for tornadoes, just being weather ready in all these situations is just whether you have the alerts, whether you're just kind of watching, being aware, listening to the television, listening to your local radio, listening to those forecasts, you know, checking those things out regularly. And then also signing up for notifications, as we've already mentioned. Something else is to create a communication plan, having that in place. So if our family is scattered, so-and-so's in school, this one's at work, this one's at the grocery, how do we reconnect? What do we do? And so having that plan, so if this happens, we know this is what we're going to do. also just to kind of have a safe room in your home, kind of know where you're going to go if that situation does take place. And of course, one of the things that I think is good is practicing that plan. Just like we do in the schools, and like they'll be doing, like they've done several. I know that we'll be doing different testing throughout this week, and so they'll be just kind of practicing those plans. Everybody goes to their safe place and does their routine. Prepare your home, and also one of the things that that's also a part of this is just, you know, kind of build some relationships with your neighbors. Kind of know, is there some elderly people in the area that might need some assistance during these situations? It'd be good to have the training for CPR. You know, if something happens, maybe I can help a neighbor out in the middle of these. So those are some things to do before. Actually, during the tornado, again, staying weather ready. Listening to the radio, listening to all the information so you know, hey, it's in this area, it's where it's approaching. A lot of times they'll give you those details.
Right.
But at your house, if a tornado comes, go to your basement, go to a safe room, an interior room away from windows, and do your best to try to find that place in advance. No, this is where I'm going to go.
Right. And don't forget your pets.
Yes, and don't forget your pets. That's always, I've heard different stories of people that have been in a closet somewhere with their pet, and it's calming. It's just something in the midst of that tragic situation, just to know that you got the. That one there with you in the midst of that, it can help calm some nerves. But don't forget the pets for sure. If you're at school, and schools have these, they have the drills, they have the plans, and they practice those, and they're going to give the kids direction. But make sure to follow those drills and those procedures. If you're outside, again, seek shelter inside a sturdy building, someplace that you can be secure. Now, if you're in a vehicle during a tornado, according to the weather.gov, it says being in a vehicle during a tornado is not safe. It says the best course of action is to drive to the closest shelter. If you're unable to make it in a safe shelter, either get down in your car and cover your head or abandon your car and seek shelter in a low-lying ditch or ravine. Thankfully, I've not tested these. I've not been through this. I've heard testimonies. In my experience with disaster relief, we went down to Mount Sterling, and not Mount Sterling, just the West Liberty, and there was an individual that laid in a ravine as the tornado went over top of him, and he survived.
Wow.
He was on his way to the barn to water the horses, to take care of the horses, and this thing came up, and he remembered that, and he laid down, and the barn and the horses, unfortunately, but somehow it went over top of the ravine. So it's one of those things that don't seem, but it's been tested. It's been proven. So that's what they're recommending in a vehicle if you're outdoors.
Now, something that comes along with tornadoes and thunderstorms, sometimes torrential rain.
Yes.
And we have had flooding here. Fortunately, not as bad as, say, Falmouth gets.
Yes.
But we get our share.
We sure do.
And I remember coming into work one day and came up on the Lees Creek Bridge, and water was up to the base of it and flowing over on the berms on the approach.
Yes.
And I sat there for 5 minutes and debated, okay, should I try to do it? Should I shouldn't? No.
Yes.
But then you remember, turn around, don't drown.
Most definitely. And I like those little catchy little sayings like that. I think it helps. And there's several for each of these. I haven't read each of them. But yes, turn around, don't drown is one that sticks in my mind, and I hope it sticks in the minds of our listeners here this morning. And I don't have these facts here before me, but I believe it's at least or in as little as 6 inches of water, it can sweep an individual, a person off their feet and cause them to be taken downstream. I want to say up to 12 inches of water is as little as 12 inches of water. A vehicle. A smaller vehicle can be swept off and taken downstream. And I think it's either 18 to 24 inches that SUVs and pickups you know, can be swept up and taken downstream. So, you know, a lot of times we're thinking, well, you know, that's not that much. It's not that deep. I think that would be okay. But depending upon, again, the force and the movement of the water, it might not seem like a whole lot, but it can pick you off your feet.
And you never really know what the depth is.
No, right. Yeah, it's kind of, you're sometimes you might look at the guardrail and say, well, I think it's this much, but that's always something to remember. And just a few of the tips here for the flooding. It says if you're under a flood warning or if those conditions are around, do not walk, swim, or drive through floodwaters. Stay off bridges and over overpasses where fast-moving water may be present. Now, as far as the what to do, in these situations, sometimes it depends upon the type of flood. And so it says, determine your best protection based upon the type of flooding. And again, at your location. If you're in a lower lying area, now you need to get out of there. However, if you're in a safe area, you know, but this is just some of the responses. It could be that you need to evacuate if told to do so. If you're in those lower lying areas and they tell you to, however, if you're in an area where it may be somewhat safe, but they tell you to move to higher ground, that might be the best option.
Right.
Instead of trying to get out and go somewhere, just move to higher ground, higher floor of the home. And then sometimes the best thing is just stay where you're at. And so it just depends upon where you are, what the conditions are, and just knowing your surroundings, being aware of what's going on. So those are just little tidbits about each of those. Of course, there's thunderstorms and other things that can pop up, but just being aware of those, and hopefully that will give some of our listeners some information. And like I said, weather.gov, a great website to go to. They have all kinds of information and just a lot of resources there.
Okay, I only have one. I have one last question.
All right.
And I hope this isn't a curveball.
Okay.
When I started here 800 years ago,
yes,
I was working nights, and you'd have the storms roll through.
Yes.
And I would have the map of Kentucky, Ohio, to plot the direction of the storms.
Correct.
And it seemed like more often than not, it would come to Maysville and then just break off into horseshoe fashion.
Yes.
And we wouldn't get the worst stuff, but it would go, you know, all the way around us.
Yes. And I thankfully, I've witnessed the same thing. I've watched several. We've had several where the state has issued, you know, warnings, and even not just the Weather Service, but even our emergency management, the state emergency management has issued different declarations and causing, you know, just encouraging us to be aware and watching. And I have watched these on radar where they've just come, and it just seems like it just splits around Maysville.
Clean living.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Yes, that is it. So it's always beneficial. A couple other things I might want to share quickly
before
we close is, again, to remind everyone of signing up for Rave Alerts. That's simply just to text Mason County, all lowercase, all one word, Mason County to 78015. And one other thing that I would like to share, encourage people to mark on their calendars. We're going to be hosting a Skywarn spotter training. The Wilmington Weather Service will be coming down and leading us in that training. And that will be April 22nd at 6 p.m. And that will be there at the Emergency Management Training Center there at 668 Kenton Station Road. And that, again, is available to the public. We are looking forward to seeing a lot of our local volunteer fire departments are going to have individuals there. Our search and rescue team is planning on making this one of their main trainings. So looking for a great event, looking for a great night, just being able to learn what to look for, what to watch for, and so we can just kind of assist others in those situations. So that April 22nd, 6 p.m. at the emergency management location there on 668 Kenton Station Road.
So there are a lot of free ways,
yes,
that you can be prepared, learn how to be prepared, and so you don't get blindsided this stormy season.
Yes.
For Severe Weather Awareness Week, Our guest, Tony Lease, Emergency Management Director. Tony, always great to have you in the studio. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
It's always good to be here. Thank you, Robert.
Yeah. Folks, have a wonderful Thursday. City Beat is brought to you by the City of Maysville.